Growing up brave. Expert strategies for helping your child overcome fear, stress, and anxiety. Author, Donna B. Pincus, PhD. A hopeful message. Anxiety is real, but it's not all bad. In fact, it's necessary. It's a useful part of life. Most children figure out how not to let their fears get the better of them. Others have a harder time. For some, persistent, uncontrolled anxieties make them feel miserable, interfere with age-appropriate development, and cause their parents endless worry and frustration. Anxiety disorders of childhood and adolescence. Separation anxiety disorder. Fearfulness about leaving a parent or caregiver typically peaks during the first and second years, although it's fairly normal during preschool, when kids have to separate for the first time to join structured peer groups. But if it is accompanied by some somatic complaints, such as stomach aches, occurs frequently, in numerous situations, causes the child distress, or impairs the ability to be away from their caregiver, some intervention is necessary. Generalized anxiety disorder. If a child experiences chronic, excessive, and unrealistic worry about multiple areas of life, if their imagination runs wild with all the bad things that might happen and they can't seem to turn it off, or if they spend a lot of time brooding over past conversations or actions, that's generalized anxiety disorder. We consider that diagnosis if the excessive worrying has gone on during most days for a period of at least 6 months. Specific phobias. Children of all ages may display specific phobias or intense and irrational fears of particular objects or situations. The trigger may be animals, heights, enclosed spaces, vomiting, germs, injections, elevators, and so on. Exposure to the trigger produces an anxious response, such as screaming, crying, freezing or clinging, and often scary physical sensations like dizziness or rapid heart rate. Obsessive-compulsive disorder. When a child has unwanted, disturbing, and persistent thoughts, impulses, or images that occupy their mind, they may develop repeated behaviors to alleviate their anxiety. Typical compulsions are hand-washing, arranging, checking, counting, tapping or touching, and repeating words silently. The repetitive behaviors are not pleasurable to the child and are time-consuming, but stopping them usually causes great distress. Panic disorders. The child who develops a panic disorder experiences repeated panic attacks and a persistent worry over the recurrence of an attack. Even thinking about it can produce trembling, nausea, heart palpitations, or even dizziness. They will try to avoid situations they think might bring them on, or they'll endure those situations with great mental and physical distress. Social phobia. Social phobia is characterized by an intense fear of becoming humiliated or embarrassed in social situations. Disrupting a child's normal life and interfering with school and relationships, it often begins around adolescence or during pre-adolescence, as soon as kids become aware that others are looking at them and making decisions, good or bad, about what they see. Parenting styles and anxiety-stricken kids. You may have come across these terms often used to describe parenting styles: permissive, authoritarian, and authoritative. Styles 1 and 2 are less than ideal for the children living under them. Permissive, or anything goes, mothers and fathers fail to provide a child with any boundaries at all. Authoritarian, you'll do it my way, mothers and fathers tend to be emotionally withholding and keep too tight a rein on their kids. Authoritative style is the desired median with the best outcome. Parents who both warmly respect a child's thoughts, feelings, and wishes, and establish necessary parameters, help them feel secure while promoting self-efficacy. We often refer to this as attentive parenting. Mom and dad are sensitive to a child's temperamental inclinations, and they adjust their protective and encouraging responses accordingly. Controlling. The too talkative parent. Offering an anxious child a lot of information, or continually revisiting stressful situations in conversation can fuel rather than calm anxiety. It produces rumination on the child's part, a type of thinking that can turn into persistent worrying or brooding. The intrusive parent. Some research studies on parenting styles have involved videotaping parent-child interactions as the youngster is faced with a frustrating and challenging task, buckling a belt, for example. What these studies have noted is that parents of an anxious child tend to be more intrusive and take over more than parents of non-clinical children. The overly reassuring parent. In our research and observations of parent-child interactions, we see that the parents, often anxious themselves, tend to be overly reassuring. This is a form of attempted control over a child's emotions. In a separation scenario, for example, mom says, "Don't worry, you're going to be fine, you're going to love this," and so on. After enough of this kind of reassurance, the child is now doubting themselves. Modeling. The anxious parent. The natural instinct of a mother or father with low distress tolerance might be to remove the child from all anxiety-provoking situations or from the prospect of failure. It's natural and adaptive to help your children when they are distressed, part of being an attentive parent. But letting them experience new challenges or work through their difficult emotions is also being attentive. The depressed parent. Depressed parents are unable to engage with children or care for them in the ways that are needed to ensure a warm parent-child attachment. And that can lead to significant psychopathology in kids, including depression. The short-fused parent. Parents who tend to have an explosive style, quick to anger, almost always regret the outbursts that seem to linger in the atmosphere. 5 minutes a daytime. A simple strategy to set the stage for brave behavior. During special time, you intentionally shift from your typical daily interactions. You intentionally shift that dynamic. You allow your child to feel in control. You pay attention to positive behaviors. Practice 5 minutes a day according to the guidelines, and you'll begin to notice results. The setup. Playtime is, as the word says, a time to play. It's the easiest for parents to do with the youngest children, ages 2 to 5, or even 6, but it still works with 6 and 7, and even 8-year-olds. Have a box or bin with toys you'll use. Separate them out from the ones around the house, and tell your child that these are being set aside for a special time you'll have together. Appropriate items are blocks and other building toys, crayons and other materials for drawing and creating. Things that both you and your child can do something with. Using the toys and joining children in their world is central to the technique. For 5 minutes, everything else stops. The don't rules. Don't ask questions. We're referring to persistent questioning by which a parent, without meaning to, directs the activity or demands a response. Don't criticize. It might not sound like criticism to say, for example, "It'll work better if you hold your crayon this way." But during special time, learn to refrain from making any such seemingly innocuous remarks. Don't give commands. The point of special time is that your child does the directing. Follow their lead. The do rules. The do rules follow the mnemonic pride. P is for praise. Praise appropriate behavior. R is for reflect. Reflect your child's talk. Your child says, "I drew a rainbow." You say, "You did. You drew a rainbow." I is for imitate. Imitate their actions. By imitating them, you're communicating, "I like what you're doing so much that I want to do it too." D is for describe. Describe what they're doing. You drew a smiling face. E is for expressing enthusiasm. You're enjoying your time together. Show it. The cycle of anxiety, a three-component model. All children at times of heightened anxiety experience the same three-part event. 1. A self-reinforcing combination of thoughts. The child's anxious thoughts, the images or possibilities that enter their mind when confronting a scary situation. 2. Physical sensations. The child's anxious feelings. They can include a pounding heart, rapid breathing, sweaty palms, dizziness, stomach aches, tingling, shaking, headaches, hot or cold flashes, and breathlessness. 3. Behaviors that can easily overwhelm the child. What I do encompasses unproductive, undesirable coping behaviors the child exhibits during threatening situations, which further reinforce the cycle. Examining anxious thoughts, one step in breaking the cycle. Stopping stressful thoughts through cognitive restructuring, changing the way you think about things, disrupts the cycle of anxiety at its start for many kids. Thinking about thinking. To help a youngster figure out what a thought is, we cut pictures from magazines of people's faces, feeling faces. We look at them. That lady's smiling, she looks happy. Here's a picture of a little boy who seems sad. What's going on with the lady or the boy, we ask. We use one cartoon piece that shows a little girl biting her nails, a worried frown on her face, with two empty thought bubbles over her head. We discuss how to fill in the bubbles, what might be going on in her mind that's making her bite her nails. This technique helps kids flesh out the idea that thoughts have an effect on how we feel, and that if we can change the way we think, we can change the way we feel and the way we act. Playing detective. Cognitive restructuring is partly playing detective, seeking information to determine if a thought is true or not true. We start from the position that each worry thought is a guess, not a fact. We must look around for facts. Mark four columns on a piece of paper. In the first column, let the child write the anxious or negative thought in their mind. In the second column, they write any evidence or facts to support that the thought is false. If the false column is longer than the true column, we toss the thought away and in column 4, write down a new adaptive thought that is more consistent with the facts. Building the bravery ladder. Exposure therapy is a treatment used for helping people overcome phobias that typically involves gradually decreasing the individual's irrational fear on an object or situation. In other words, you put yourself in contact with the trigger, experience the anxiety, and then prevent your avoidance response to it, such as panicking and going to the extreme lengths to avoid ever being in a skyscraper or glass-sided elevator. Kids list different activities on the ladder. You get to decide which one you want to work on first. Next to each activity, there's a place for a sticker or a happy face. When you complete the activity, you get a special sticker on your bravery ladder. Enjoy the sight. It's our hope that by using the strategies you've learned here, you'll be able to watch your child flourish and enjoy the sight. There really are few satisfactions greater than seeing a son or daughter no longer hampered by excessive fears, but reaching toward all the exciting possibilities that lie ahead.